Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q1 FY25 earnings conference call of Credo Brands Marketing Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as of the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kamal Kushalani, Chairman and Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Dell. Good afternoon, everyone. I have with me Mr. Rasik Mittal, Chief Financial Officer, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisors. I hope you all received the investors' deck. If not, you can view them on the stock exchange or our company website. Mufti's revenues in Q1 FY25 grew by 5%, with EBITDA and PAT growing by 9% and 14% respectively, mainly due to cost optimization measures. The market for premium and mid-premium branded apparel continued to be subdued due to the consumer behavior influenced by an inflationary environment and a nationwide heat wave we experienced this summer. Despite a difficult market, our same-store sales growth for the quarter stood at 3%. In Q1 FY25, we added five new stores to our portfolio, increasing our total strength of stores to 430. We are optimistic about our continued store expansion efforts and aim to open between 25-30 new stores this year during FY25. EBOs are central to our growth strategy as they offer a holistic in-store brand experience and help enhancing brand visibility and salience. We plan to expand our store network in existing and new cities. We have identified several markets as having potential for opening further EBOs, and this offers the potential for market share gains, increased brand recognition, and economies of scale. As of 30th June 2024, we are present in 596 cities, having over 1,800 touchpoints. We intend to increase our salience a lot more on the digital platforms, looking to improve market share in the D2C space. We continue to develop a strong brand identity through effective brand advertising and multiple marketing campaigns for our brand. For the full year, we plan to spend approximately 5% of revenues on branding and advertising. Our design team is constantly focusing on expanding our product range to meet a varied range of consumer needs. Our diverse products range comes under the mid-premium to premium price range of clothing in India. Looking ahead for FY25, the company aspires to achieve mid-teens revenue growth backed by new store openings in new and existing geographies, and subject to recovery and overall industry demand for mid-premium to premium brands. The company is also targeting to improve profitability through implementation of various cost efficiency measures. We are also looking to reduce our working capital cycle by reducing our inventory levels in the coming months. We have always, as mentioned on earlier calls, managed to sell our unsold inventory at a profit and never had any material write-offs on account of inventory in the past. And we will continue to manage our inventory efficiently in the coming seasons of autumn-winter 24 and spring-summer 25. We are confident of that. And we are confident in our capability to handle short-term fluctuations, if any, and achieve sustainable and consistent growth for the company in future. With this brief, I'd like to hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Rasik Mittal, for the update on the financial performance. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Kamal. Good afternoon, everyone. I will give you the financial highlights of Q1 FY25. Revenue for Q1 FY25 grew at 5% year-on-year to 124 crores. Our SSSG for the quarter stood at 3% year-on-year. Gross profit grew by 9% year-on-year to 72.6 crores, with a GP margin of 58.6% for the quarter. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 33.4 crores as compared to rupees 30.3 crores in quarter one of FY24, that is a growth of 10%. Our EBITDA margin stood at 26.9%. Profit after tax for the quarter stood at 9.8 crores, a growth of 14% year-on-year. Our working capital days have decreased by 5 days to 161 days as on 30th June 2024. As mentioned earlier, we aspire to reduce our working capital days backed with by inventory days basically. ROCE and ROE stood at 18% and 17.4% respectively. Our net debts to equity stood at negative 0.02x. With this, we now open the floor for question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Jatin Jadhav from Sahasrar Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Good afternoon, everyone, and congratulations on such a good set of numbers. So my question was on the lines of the competitive landscape. The way we market our products and sell our products is essentially shorts, trousers, and I wanted to understand how do you see the competition growing in terms of the brands which are coming up on social media platforms, smaller brands, and do you see them as a competition, and how are we planning if to compete with them?
So, Jatin, I mean, we've been in the business for over 25 years now, and there has been enough competition that has gotten added year on year, but along with that, the market seems to have grown. Coming to your question of other smaller brands on social media, etc., yes, there are a lot of brands that are sprouting up, but, you know, we have a certain tribe that follows the brand, and the position that we have created for the brand is very, very unique in itself, right from the inception of the brand. And the reason for our existence has been, you know, finding gaps in the market and giving products that are not available with mainstream brands. That's the reason why we came into existence. And that is something that we have been successfully doing in the past. And the type of products we make are expressive and are different from what most brands offer in the market. So I'm sure that that is something we have been doing historically, and we will continue to do so. And competition will come and competition will go. But this is, I mean, something that we can easily handle. That's not a problem.
Oh, got it. Thank you so much. I'll get back into the question queue.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Utkarsh Maheshwari from Reliance General Insurance. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Kamalji. How are you?
Very well, Utkarsh. How are you?
I'm good, sir. Sir, I mean, you did mention that you want to grow in mid-teens. So, I mean, what kind of number we aspire for? And, I mean, do we see that, I mean, expenditure, what we did for the branding and all, and now you're saying you're going to do it at 5%. So, can we expect some kind of improvement in the margins and overall profitability going ahead? I mean, considering that things should evolve, improve from henceforth?
Yep. Certainly, Utkarsh, we intend and we believe that things should be better going forward. But the way, you know, the last three or four seasons have been very, very subdued, and it's a little volatile, the market conditions. April also this summer was very, very good. And then after April, suddenly May was, you know, the kind of month that we haven't experienced in the past many, many years. So given that, it's very difficult to, you know, look into the crystal ball today and gaze there and give an exact idea of what will happen. But we are very positive and hopeful, and hoping now that the elections also are behind us, and prices have been stable now for all the last few seasons. So we are hoping that the festival season and the marriage season should pick up well, and we should have a good season going forward. We are, like I said in the earlier earnings call also, we are not putting our, you know, a gun to our head to grow at a very at whatever pace, but we are putting a gun to our heads to improve our profitability and to improve same store sales growth. That is something that we are going to be pushing, and we are going to push to improve our working capital days, reduce inventory levels, which I am sure and very confident that we will be able to do by the end of the year. The rest, we are very, very hopeful of it being a better year, this one, going forward.
Yeah, I think when we say premium, mid to premium, or mid premium, this category is not something which is, you know, really get impacted by the rising inflation, because these are not the people who are not the aspiring lot. So I just want to understand ki matlab, how do we see things shaping up, because last time we had some problems, we had excess expenditure, we had some impact on your gross margins and all. So probably, is it fair to say that ki the gross margin, what we have done earlier, can be improved henceforth from here?
See, I think last year we did a little north of 56 odd crores as a gross margin, 57 odd crores, and this year we've done 58 odd percentage, I'm sorry, not crores. And so gross margins will remain there and thereabouts. And our expenditure also, I already mentioned, we intend to spend roughly 5 odd percent of our revenue and intend to continue doing that, because we are looking to improve our salience on the digital platforms, and that is something which will help us increase our D2C space and also give us spillover to the demand in the offline market, and we are working aggressively towards that. So these are things which will certainly pay off going forward, Utkarsh.
So basically, is it fair to say that key margins can improve henceforth at the EBITDA level also?
Yeah, all of this, Utkarsh, is a
sequentially they have moved. YOY, we can see that there is no improvement is there, but I'm not sure that this is the only improvement possible. There is still some decent room to improve, right?
So Utkarsh, see, basically, I think we have one of the best gross margins in the industry.
EBITDA margin.
EBITDA margin also, as we have said in the earlier calls, we expect to maintain between 28% to 30%.
Okay, so I mean with Q1 at 27%, there is still we can expect a better margins going ahead.
Correct. What happens, Utkarsh, that all of these they fall in a certain range. If the market is better, then naturally those margins get better. All of it is a function. Our business, Utkarsh, is not so much about making 1% extra EBITDA or 1.5% extra EBITDA. Our business is about keeping the inventory in check, ensuring that whatever we have made, we are able to liquidate that profitably. Jitna maal humne banaya hai na, wo sab maal hum log ko bechne ki capacity honi chahiye. That is what we always keep looking at. It's that 1% here or there is all business as usual. Kabhi up, kabhi little down. That's not that something that truly reflects the strength of the brand. What truly reflects is the way we gain market share and the way we maintain our gross margins, and if we are able to liquidate whatever we have made profitably, that is what truly reflects that are we on the right path or not.
Fair point. One last question. How you actually understand or how you actually evaluate the efficiency or optimization of advertising cost? मतलब जो खर्चा कर रहा है वो हमको उस तरह से bear कर रहा है कि नहीं, वो कैसे आप उसको वो करते हो, quantify करते हो, या उसको कैसे how do you calculate that?
These are investments that you make in the brand, Utkarsh, and honestly there is no direct relationship on this except if you only look at performance marketing where you can look at a ROAS, etc. But all these investments that you make in improving the salience of your brand and getting the new message of the brand communicated to the audience, which is very, very important. We have made a lot of changes during COVID, and we started making these changes just before COVID. So it's very important that all these changes get communicated to the brand, I mean to the consumers. The brand has gone through a lot of shift, and that is what we are seeing, that the consumers are reacting very positively to. So it's very important that all this communication goes out to the consumers, Utkarsh.
Okay, fair point. So we can expect your high teens, that is what you are guiding, right? On the base of F24, right?
No, I am not saying high teens
You mentioned the opening remark, I believe.
Yeah. Depending on market conditions, certainly it could be that.
Okay, fair point. Thanks.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sagar Sethi from Sethi Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Audible?
Yes, Sagar.
I think you said that you will grow by 15% when you are going only at 5%. Why?
I beg your pardon?
I think you said that you will grow about 20%, 15% last time, but your sales grow only by 5%. While other companies are growing at sales about 20%, 30%.
So a quarter on quarter, Sagar, does not reflect the growth that the business can have during the entire year. We have the main season coming up, and that's the time we'll see the demand picking up.
Okay. Your last season was also lean. Winter season was also lean last time.
I beg your pardon, Sagar?
The winter season was also lean last time. Winter season was also lean last time.
Your voice is not very clear, Sagar.
Mr. Sagar, I request you to please come closer to the handset and ask your question.
Okay.
Hello?
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Mr. Sethi, are you in the queue? I believe Mr. Sethi has been disconnected. Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rahul Jayan Dhruv from Pegasus Growth LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, and congratulations on good numbers. I basically wanted to, go back to your previous conference call where you were very clear that you want to expand your store network by around 35 to 40 stores. And I can see that you've scaled that down to 20 to 25 in this recent press note. So I just wanted to know what is it, what is behind that thought process?
So Rahul, typically as a company, we believe in, under committing and over delivering rather than, just putting numbers out there. So this year, the way it, and the last year, the way tier 2 and tier 3 markets have behaved, they have not behaved to the true potential and what we were seeing earlier. So we are going to be cautiously, approaching opening of stores. And we have mentioned 25 to 30. We may even very well end up opening 40 stores. Depends on the type of stores that come up. And we may very well end up opening, 2-3 stores less than what we say also. This is a function of what will happen by the end of the year. However, there are enough markets that we have identified where we intend to open stores. So stores have to come in. Sometimes a store comes in. It may not be the right location. Sometimes it may be the right location, but it may not be the right rental. So there are a lot of things that, go into making a decision before we decide on opening stores. So roughly, this is what we intend to do. And like I said, we intend to grow the brand. And for growth of the brand, we intend opening new stores in whichever markets we are not present. And looking at the market conditions, we will alter these plans, as the year unfolds.
Okay, thanks. And so on your online sales, I think you again mentioned in your release that you were looking for a lot of growth over there or expansion over there. So I just wanted to know what exactly are margins like online. What I mean to say online is basically through third party. Not your own website, and how is it different from what you make recently, or MBO or EBO?
Typically, what we make in MBO and EBO is very similar to each other. However, what we make in the e-com space is lower, but even there, we make a profit. And with the third party, whatever we end up selling, most of it, even today, is driven by discounts. So that is a channel that we use to liquidate our old season merchandise, and it serves us very well for that. However, we are also looking to expand and grow our business on our own D2C website, which we are working on very aggressively to acquire customers and go D2C as well. And we believe that in the time to come, the consumer in India also will get ready for full price, purchases online. And that is something that we are readying ourselves on, and we are on the learning curve. As and when the timing is right, we will be ready to expand that business at the pace at which it will demand.
Okay. So, I mean, any number in terms of how different the profitability is?
I beg your pardon?
How different would be the e-com profitability vis-a-vis the rest of the business?
So, Rahul, the profitability of the online channel, third-party channels, is considerably lower compared to our main channels like EBO and MBO, because e-com at present remains a liquidation channel basically for us.
Right.
But we make sure we earn profits for the sale made on the e-com channel also.
Okay, I got it. And one last thing on the working capital. You mentioned, you've been over the last two calls consistently mentioning that you want to reduce the working capital. What kind of a reduction are you looking at in terms of number of days? Just a broad number.
Maybe another 5 odd days.
From what was it? This quarter before.
Business we are in retail. We need, that does not give an absolute true reflection of how the brand is doing. So, but give or take 5-7 days here or there.
So, Rahul, one more point basically. See, the way our numbers look in our balance sheet, it's not a true listing. Basically, because we have collected deposits from our franchisees, if we give effect to that, around 25 days from working capital will get reduced.
Those are actually advances against the goods that we supply to them.
Yeah, but as of March, it does not show that. So when I look at your annual report, I don't find the advance number as of last was around a very small number. It was a very, very small number.
No, it should be around 37-38 crores in March also. For 30th June, it was around 40 crores.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm sorry. I got the wrong number in that case. All right. Great. And just one last thing. So if you do manage to reduce the working capital, then you would effectively not require any debt probably by the end of this year itself. What do you plan to do with the debt you have? I think you had around 37.5 crores as of March.
We are already debt-free position as on date.
Right, and would you, if you remain at that working capital over the next 2 years or 3 years, then you would have a nice accumulation in cash. So what do you plan to do with that cash?
Besides using it for expansion, we have always been a dividend-paying company in the past, Rahul, except for the, barring the COVID years. And, we'll continue to do that.
Okay. Because the dividend payout ratio last year was around 5%. Do you think you would want to increase that?
Yes, depending on the kind of... Currently, in this quarter, we've made a very healthy, cash. But like I said, that, one quarter doesn't reflect our business in totality. These are things that we look at on an annual basis. And basis that, we'll decide the dividend payout for the forthcoming years.
Perfect. I have one or two more questions, and I'll come back in the queue.
All right, Rahul.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayana from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So last quarter, you mentioned increase in provisions because the demand was subdued. So just want to understand what has happened on that front, whether our inventory has actually increased, returns are increased. Just give some sense of that.
No, we are not expecting the returns to increase. But however, last year in Q1, the provision for returns was 22%.
Yeah.
And this year, the provision for returns has been consistent, 25%, as per the provision made in Q4 of last year.
Got it. So typically, what is the what kind of inventory you actually carry? Is this inventory which is more than a year old or something? If you can just give some insight on how the inventory aging has been in the last 2 years and how it is now?
So, like I said, the old inventory we keep clearing through our, the third-party e-commerce partners and through our factory outlets. And we are never in a hurry to do that because you have to discount very deep if you want to, you know, be too much of a hurry to liquidate that. So we take our own sweet time because we don't want the brand value to get eroded in any certain way because hence, you can see by the grace of God, we are able to maintain our gross margins and that is something we intend to, you know, continue doing so even in future, whatever we make. We go only up to a certain level and a certain rate at which we discount the goods. And we, however, have always managed to liquidate whatever we have made by managing our production and sales and our demand projection accordingly.
Okay. And typically, how much of your sales is done in full price at an aggregate level? Like if you look at the volume of pieces or in terms of revenues, which is where you look at it?
We realize roughly 70-odd% of the MRP.
Okay. And in terms of your various formats, especially in the EBOs and NBOs, like how much is actually a consignment basis and how much is safe which is non-returnable?
Everything is totally on a consignment basis. There's a very, very limited portion of maybe hardly 2% maybe on a non-returnable basis. And we are very happy to do that because as a brand, we intend to have total control of the entire inventory in my pipeline, starting from my what is on my machines at my factories to what is on my shelves in my stores to what is in my warehouse. Because at the end of every season, whatever is left over, I like to pick that up and discount it and sell it at my own pace at the discount at which I desire rather than pushing it down, my primary partner's throat and him pushing for higher discounts to liquidate it, etc. This way, I'm able to maintain the brand equity the way I would like to do it. So we intend to take back everything that is unsold after every end of season sale, and we are able to manage liquidating everything that we make profitably, like I said earlier, Lakshmi Narayan. So we have no problem in doing that, and we have a knack of managing that. We're very confident.
Okay, and also if I just look at your growth, if you disaggregate your growth projection, let's say you start the year and you want to draw a budget for the next year, how much of price escalation you actually build in general? Like if you took at a growth projection of X, how much would come from price escalation in general?
Maybe 2-odd%.
Okay. And 2%, sorry?
It does not necessarily reflect price escalation. It also reflects the product mix, the ratio of what else. And as we are going toward premiumization, there might be some, premium products that get added, etc. And that may take up prices. It's not really going to be escalation of prices.
Got it. And if I just take a growth of, say, 15% or 20%, how much would come from distribution-led expansion and how much would come from existing stores or tenured stores additional growth? How do you disaggregate it in general when you projected for a year or a 3 year business plan?
I think India is showing enough opportunity, Lakshmi Narayan, across all kind of towns. So, you know, typically a smaller town, as it grows and, you know, the consumers there become conducive to buying branded products, the MBOs first start stocking national brands. And we are always in the list of brands for any new EBOs that come up in, whether it's a tier 2, MBO, sorry, any new MBO that comes up in any tier 2, tier 3 town as well. Typically, that's how it starts. And as the brand grows, as the town grows richer, slowly it becomes conducive for single brand retail and then multiple outlets of single brand retailers, etc. So we are seeing all kinds of opportunities. We see MBOs opening up. We see new EBOs opening up However, we don't count too much of the MBOs because that's not opening them is not in my control, but opening EBOs is in mine. But however, we intend to have organic and inorganic growth in both MBOs as well as EBOs.
Any mix in general, Tamrul, you saying that if you want to grow 20%, how much would be by store-led expansion, which could be EBOs or MBOs, and how much would be your existing channel, the channel that was existing last year?
Currently, it's very difficult to put a number on that, Lakshmi Narayan. However, we are intending to grow in mid-teens depending on market conditions.
Thank you, sir. I'll come back and see you.
All right.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rohan from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, I was just going through your financials and I think we do
design sorry to interrupt, Mr. Rohan. Could you come a bit close to your handset and speak?
Speak a little.
Am I clear now?
Better.
Yeah. So I was going through your financials and you a decent ROC of say north of 20% and you don't have a dividend pay. You are not paying dividend at this moment. So can we expect that you can accelerate your mid-teens growth rate to somewhat on 20% growth rate for a long period of time? Or say 4 or 5 years?
Why not? Certainly. We intend to double in 4 to 5 years is what we had mentioned earlier also. However, all of that will be done depending on the market conditions. And we have always grown through the profitability lens. And that is something we will continue to do. We will calibrate the growth of the company through the profitability lens. We will never compromise on profitability for growth and vice versa.
Okay. And if you can just explain us the just like one of the participant also asked this question. Are you feeling this heat coming from the new age brands that are more focused on D2C and that has more customized element?
Not really, Rohan. The heat and all, honestly, we haven't. The market there is enough room for growth for everyone. And a lot of endeavors at our end also, which we will end up achieving growth on that. We don't see deep brands giving us heat or anything of that sort.
Okay, so you still feel that there is a still long runway for growth for all of the players. It's not like you have to take competition from somebody else.
Certainly there is enough of a runway, Rohan. And like I said, it also depends on, the type of brand you are. If you end up being just another Me Too brand trying to, sell or be another also ran in the industry where you're trying to sell on the edge of price or something, but we are not like that. We are a brand which is very unique in itself, and you will only know that if you visit some of the competitor stores and visit our stores and actually touch and feel our products, where you will see how we are different from the others and what's the reason for our existence and the reason for our belief that we will continue to grow profitably.
Okay. And another thing with the growth plans that you are having, can we expect the percentage terms, the branding and marketing expense to go up? Because you would definitely want to market it aggressively.
Give or take here or there, but roughly we intend to spend approximately 5% of our revenues.
Okay. Thank you for your time. That was promising.
Most welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ravi Shah from Opal Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. First of all, sir, congratulations on achieving a positive SSSG in a tough demand environment. So my first question would be, sir, what would be our pre-Ind AS EBITDA margin, sir?
Can you repeat the pre-Ind AS EBITDA margin? Pre-Ind AS EBITDA would be around 10% lower, so it will be maybe around 16 odd percent.
Understood, sir. Thank you. So my next question would be a little bit on strategy. So what would be your growth aspiration for the next 3 years? I know you mentioned a little bit, but then from this, what kind of volume, so can you just split between volume and value between SSSD and actual growth going forward? Anything like what are we targeting for the next 3 years?
Can you come again? I'm sorry, Ravi.
Yeah, so basically, what would be our growth aspiration for the next 3 years and where do we see our business heading?
We intend to double in the next 4 to 5 years, Ravi. Exactly in 3 years is, we intend to have at least mid-teen growth year on year. Yeah, we'll go faster also.
Understood, sir. And sir, this will majorly be driven by volume or value, sir? That was the question.
Both. Of course, both.
Okay, sir. Got it. So my next question would be, what would be our short-term targets like in the coming few quarters? What would be our major targets, if we have any?
For this year, our targets are to reduce our working capital days and reduce our inventory levels and grow, at mid-teen levels, but ensure that we grow profitably. We improve our profitability and we improve our working capital days and reduce inventory levels. Keeping, those are going to be the boxes we are going to be ticking before we think of growth. I'd be very confident to be able to do that by the end of this year.
Understood, sir. So my last question would be, how have the MBOs performed during the last quarter? If you could give a brief highlight on that, it would be very helpful, sir.
The MBO performance in the last quarter has been decent. MBO and EBO typically move hand in hand, Ravi.
Understood, sir.
The general, the sentiment is pretty similar across.
Understood, sir. So thank you, and thank you for the detailed answer. All the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayana from Dunga Capitals. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you once again. So in terms of the your EBOs, what's your annual rent you actually pay for your facilities? What is it as a percentage of revenues?
So it depends on different types of EBOs, but it's in the range of around 20-odd% of the revenue.
Okay. And in terms of your stores, COCO, COPO or POPO, what's the kind of typical format, like what's the kind of square feet you have, what's the revenue per square feet you normally target at, and when does these stores break even at least at an operating level?
So, see, typically our stores break even from 6 to 9 months generally.
Typically, we are around 800 square feet at an average, and the revenue we do is around 11,800,
900. Sorry, it's around 800 square feet, and what is that number, 11,000, you talked about?
I beg your pardon?
No, you said 800 square feet is an average size of your store, and what is the other number you gave, 11,000 something you told?
We do average revenue of around 90 lakhs per annum.
Okay. And in terms of garmenting, right, so do you completely outsource or some part of garmenting you actually retain?
Completely outsourced.
Okay.
Completely outsourced.
Thank you.
However, we maintain total control over the entire outsourcing process.
Got it. And typically how many franchisees you actually offer every year and how many actually apply, like what kind of filtering you have for becoming a franchisee?
So there is a process that goes through, that one has to go through Lakshmi Narayan. I mean, there's a committee that meets with the franchisee and looks at the potential of the market and in some sense kind of screens the franchisee and understands and looks at their experience and their, and then it's a, you know, the chemistry getting matched along with the franchisee and us having confidence in them being able to run the store successfully. So that is a stringent process that one has to go through before one becomes a franchisee. Typically, I think around how many of our stores are run by franchisees?
Yeah.
About 2/3 of our stores are run by franchisees, and the growth also is coming in the same percentage.
Got it. And one other question is that how are you taking advantage of information technology? How do you ensure that the last 3 years, how you have progressed in that front? In the sense that how do you optimize the inventory at various stores, micro markets? How, what has been the journey so far and how are we benefiting now?
Very difficult to answer that question like that on the call, but there is a, you know, we have a direct connect with our POS where we know the sale every 30 minutes and we have a ERP that gives us the SKU-wise data of what is selling where. And there is a very, very strong team internally that monitors what is selling where to ensure that the right product is lying at the right place. And lots of endeavors are taken up, including interstore transfers. And there are a lot of BI tools that give us, you know, insight on merchandising and what should be put in which stores and what is it that sells where. So that's a constant exercise that is, you know, done.
Is it something which you embarked upon very recently in terms of the ERP? That is actually...
Oh, no, no. It's been there for a long time.
Got it.
But
thank
yes,
you. I'll come back.
New endeavors that we keep embarking on and newer ways of slicing, dicing our data to get better and better at, you know, predicting sales.
So which means with all your EBOs, you have a on a daily tracking, you have the inventory, which is selling fast. It is that at an EBO level, you must be having, right? Both primary and secondary?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Got it. Thank you so much, sir.
Most welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naitik from NV Alpha Funds. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is, you know, your receivables seem to be a bit on the higher side. So any thoughts? Is there a room for improvement or they would remain in the same range? Any thoughts on that?
I think we are working on reducing the receivable days, basically. So, but on this Netic, the receivable days that we have, there is a certain amount of facing stock that is required in the stores. And like I said, we have advances from our franchisee partners lying with us as deposits. So if you factor for all that, then you will see that it's not actually as high as it appears to be. But retail, we have to fill up the store with stocks. And that, again, is in the fashion business may not be the best way to evaluate the health of a business. As long as we are able to liquidate what we have and ensure that that is done profitably on whatever we have produced, we are on the right track.
And recover the money from our customers.
Yes, and like I said earlier, there have been no write-offs on account of inventory in the history of the company. Similarly, there have been no material write-offs on account of receivables also.
Okay, so I got it. And my second question is, you could just give the pre-Ind AS margin for the last quarter and, you know, Q1 of FY24 also so that we get an idea of how it's moving. Hello?
Can I get back to you on that?
Sure, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. So that's it from my side.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rahul Jain Dhruv from Pegasus Growth LLP. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I just had a follow-up question on the returns. You mentioned that, you know, you provide for 25%.
Yeah.
One is, what was this percent say, in FY21 or FY20? and what is it now? And second is, when you say provide, basically means that it is actually a number which you decide, but actual number would be different, right? So if you can tell me a little bit.
Number is a derived number from the basis on which we have been getting returns historically. However, what's happened is that the way we have completely gone to SOR basis from outright, this number has gone up. And like I said, I prefer to get everything back from in my pipeline. So I know that A, every new season, I'm putting in new merchandise on the shelves for my consumers to see. And whatever is left over after end of season sale, when it comes back to me, I have a complete view on, you know, what's the inventory that was unsold and what is the rate at which I need to discount it to be able to liquidate it at the rate at which I would be happy to do that. And if I was not going to pick it up from my MBO partners and other partners, I may not have a eye view. I may not have a complete view of what is the inventory that's left over, which is, we believe it's much healthier to get everything back as long as we are able to liquidate it, which is what we do successfully. So that is something that has grown. Last year it was 22%, and I think prior to that it was even maybe lower,
maybe
the provision.
Yeah, around 20%.
Right. So if I'm not wrong, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's basically the gross margin of 57.5% is after a 22% returns, right? And which basically means that if the return falls to say 20% or 15%, and I'm not saying it will, but I'm just assuming, then the gross margin will be much higher.
So we've changed the return percentage looking at the last 3-4 seasons. So if the returns percentage reduces, we'll change the provision.
You're asking, will the GP go up?
GP will remain same. Why is the GP
go up? GP will remain same. There will not be any impact on GP. Because even when I make a provision for the returns, I give effect to the COGS also for that.
No, my point is, sir, when the returns come, you actually liquidate it through the online channels, right? Which is at a lower price. So I'm just trying to understand, if it is at a lower price, then the gross margin over there will be lower, right?
But this is normal, basically. It keeps on happening. It means older stuff gets being sold on e-commerce channels. It's
But if less inventory is returned from the channel partners, then yes, our margins will go up.
Okay. And this 25% is the highest that you have seen so far.
It's not like that. Depend on season to season. That's the average what we have seen, and that is what the auditor and RASIC have decided to write as a provision.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's about it. That's my
statistic we see.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. We have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, Del, and thank you everyone for joining us. I hope we've been able to answer all your queries, and we look forward to such interactions in the future. In case you require any further details, you may contact Mr. Deven Dhruva from SGA, our investor relations partner. Thank you very much, and have a good evening, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Credo Brands Marketing Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.